friends. Thank you for joining us here on Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz, and we are going to go over our sports article for this month. It's a three-day article, and it's one that's actually not a popular one. And by popular, I mean lots of people participating. Okay, but certainly a lot of people do enjoy watching. What am I talking about? Cliff diving, yes. And with me in the studio, I've got my two friends here, and they're going to be telling me more about their experience with cliff diving. First of all, to my right is Gabriel Harbor. Hi.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be here talking about quite an interesting and exotic sport. And Liz, if you want me to share more about cliff diving, I've never personally done cliff diving, but it does sound risky and adventurous.
Really? You've never done cliff diving?
Well, I mean, I've done, if by cliff diving you mean like maybe...
Jumping off a small cliff?
Jumping off a small cliff into water, maybe like a story or two high. But
okay.
These guys are going for like nine stories high.
True. Okay, but you have done some kind of a jumping thing, motion off of somewhere higher.
Into water.
Into water, yes.
Water is a good place to land when you're doing cliff diving.
Yes. Well, we're glad to have Gabriel join us. Normally, he's on Studio Classroom, but here today for Events Radio. Awesome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
And also in the studio, we have Brandon. Hi, Brandon.
Hello, everyone. Great to be here.
And Brandon, you are cliff diver extraordinaire, right?
Not exactly. I think I'm in the same boat as Gabe. I have jumped off a small cliff before, and that was risky enough for me.
Yep.
Okay.
What about you, Liz?
All right. Clearly, I am outnumbered in this studio. The closest I've ever been when it comes to cliff diving is being near a cliff, but no diving.
Oh.
Okay. I watched people jump off the cliff into the water.
You took pictures.
I took pictures. I held their stuff for them as they dove into the water.
You were anxious for them, like full of anxiety.
That kind of thing. Yes. I was the spectator, you know? For someone to do something like that, obviously you need an audience.
Exactly. So we always appreciate our audience.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very important role.
I mean, what's the point of doing the diving when no one's around to see you do it?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, people are going to think you're just making it up.
Yeah,
you're bragging.
Gonna you.
Right. But you need a witness. And so that is my role.
Thank you, Liz.
You're most welcome. Okay. So we're going to be talking about cliff diving. It's risky for sure. Adventurous, definitely. And actually, we're going to be talking about a particular cliff diver. Okay. And he's been quite popular. He's certainly attracted a lot of media attention. And what are we talking about?
Am I going to say his name correctly here? Is his name Stephen LeBoux? Stephen LeBoux?
That sounds pretty close.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yes, you are correct. High diver Stephen LeBoux, and he takes a leap of faith in every competition. A leap of faith.
Well, if you take a leap of faith, that means it's, first of all, it's not something that's easy to do. Maybe, for example, you quit your job and you don't have another job, so you're taking a leap of faith because you don't know what's going to happen, but you take a risk. And in his case here, we're going to find out that he was successful in a lot of ways. And so sometimes when you take a leap of faith, there's risk involved, or always there's risk involved, but a lot of times you are successful.
Right. So when you do something risky but you're hoping for the better, that's a leap of faith. Now, obviously, in his situation, because he's jumping off a cliff, being a cliff diver, he's making a leap. And, of course, he's hoping that being a diver and he's in these competitions, he wants a good score. You know, he's hoping for the better, good performance and all that. So it's a leap of faith. It's almost like a play on word here.
Yeah, I like the fact that they chose this phrase for this lesson, because he really is taking a leap of faith.
That's right. Okay, well, friends, if you have a copy of this month's magazine, Advance Magazine, we are on page 16. And we do hope you'll follow along with our reading. We're going to cover the first part of today's reading from line 1 to line 14. Please follow along.
Cliff diving. Risky, but adventurous. High diver Stephen LeBoux takes a leap of faith in every competition. High diver Stephen Lebeau leaped into a 90-foot deep sinkhole in Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula at the Red Bull Cliff Diving World Series finale as he locked up the number 3 ranking for the year. Lebeau typically takes a moment to savor the scenery when he is perched on the edge of a cliff, preparing to plunge 9 stories while flipping through 5 somersaults before hitting the water at 60 miles per hour. Rather than feel scared of my vantage point, I tried to absorb some calm from the beauty of it, he said. The view can be absolutely breathtaking for high diver Lebeau, who has propelled himself from the side of a volcano, the rim of a canyon, the top of a medieval fortress, and the roof of an opera house in competitions around the world. But not too breathtaking. Lebeau must not let his mind race into panic mode when he's standing on the 89-foot-high platform, controlling his heartbeat and visualizing the perfect dive.
Thank you, Steve, for helping us out with the reading. All right, let's go ahead and get started. What do we see in the beginning, Brandon?
Well, we start off with talking about Stephen Lebeau, and he is a high diver. If you jump off of cliffs, in this case, you're also called a high diver because it's very high,
yes.
Of course. So we start off talking about how he leaped into a 90-foot deep sinkhole, and a sinkhole is just a hole in the ground, and it's formed when soil and rocks are removed by the water. And so he's jumping into just a large area of water, but it happens to be a sinkhole.
Okay, mm-hmm. And where is the sinkhole located?
That is in Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. Sinkholes, generally, as Brandon said, they're big holes in the ground. And often they're caused happens spontaneously. Sometimes it happens underneath people's houses.
Oh, yes.
You've seen maybe pictures of this online. And so they can be quite dangerous. But here's an established sinkhole, and, you know, obviously the water is deep enough for him to jump into as well.
Yeah, I believe in recent years in the state of Florida in the U.S., they were having problems where underneath houses, the houses were, like, falling in as a result of these sinkholes.
Okay. Well, we have this sinkhole here, and this is the chosen site for the Red Bull Cliff Diving World Series finale. Let's see, he locked up the number 3 ranking for the year. Mm-hmm, okay, now those are not our everyday words here. Okay, first of all, finale.
Yeah, the finale is the last part of something. For example, in a competition, that would be the last part of the competition. For example, maybe the champion would be decided during that finale.
Okay, the final round.
Yeah, or maybe you might even call it the grand finale if there's some big performance at the very end. And it's supposed to be the climax, you know, of the show. That's
right.
The grand finale.
Okay. And then locked up. Now, to lock up something, we usually think of what? The door, the key, and sealing something. But in this case, we're talking about a different kind of lockup, right?
Yeah, you're right. But the definition is similar because when you lock something, you're making it secure. So here, he's locking up. He's securing his position as number 3 for the year.
In other words, it won't change. Mm-hmm. It is settled.
That's right.
It is final, in other words. All right. Okay, and he normally, or typically, takes a moment to savor the scenery when he is perched on the edge of a cliff. Now, when you're perched on the edge of something, you are standing, okay, and it's a small area. You're imagining a small area that you're standing in this case, right at the very edge of this really, really high cliff, and he's preparing to plunge or to jump into the water, and it's 9 stories between him and the water.
Yeah, I had a hard time reading through this article, actually, because just putting myself in his shoes, I mean, this can't be easy. But it says here, like you mentioned, he takes a moment to savor the scenery. I'm glad he does that. If it was me, I would be up there just scared and not even knowing what to think, but he likes to kind of enjoy the scenery while he has it because not everybody can enjoy that view.
True. And that is his method, I guess, because I know for some people that would actually distract them. They have to be so focused that anything, even if it's nice or beautiful, like the scenery, will let them lose concentration. And in this case, there's a lot to think about.
Yep.
But in his case, it's actually good for him to focus on something else.
Yeah, I'm sure, because what you're doing, if you just focus on that, you would be full of anxiety probably. So if you enjoy the nature around you, maybe it'd give you some peace inside.
Right. And he's got a lot to think about because he's going to be flipping through 5 somersaults before hitting the water at 60 miles per hour.
Man, I can do a somersault on the ground. One.
At 60 miles per hour?
Not at 60 miles per hour.
Not even 6 miles per hour for me.
No, probably not.
And a somersault, of course, is when you're turning over completely.
Right.
So we're seeing that he's doing 5 of them in the air, flipping over completely. That's crazy, Liz.
It is. Because he's going through the air, 60 miles per hour. And that's what? Imagine a 9-story tall building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's how far he's going to go. And he has 5 somersaults to complete before he hits the water.
Yeah.
So you're flying through the air already. And then you have a lot. You're busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you think too much, it would probably cause you to mess up, I'm sure.
And he's messed up, as we'll find out in the lesson. He's messed up even a little bit. You know, it could have big consequences.
Right. And then there's also the issue of beauty, performance, you know, looking good while you're doing it, which we'll learn more about later on this article. And he makes a statement. Rather than feel scared of my vantage point, I try to absorb some calm from the beauty of it. I love that. I absolutely love it because he makes a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes in life, we do have decisions that we have to make. And what is your attitude? And yes, he could feel scared from where he's standing and looking at whatever's around him. That's what a vantage point is. He chooses instead to absorb some calm from it. So rather than trying to focus on where he is at, he focuses on the bigger picture.
And that's great. And that is important. I mean, everybody has that choice, right, to be nervous and anxious about what you're about to do, or to maybe try to enjoy something about it. And that's what he does. He tries to absorb. And usually when I see the word absorb, I think of something like a sponge that absorbs water. That's kind of a physical absorbing. But here he's absorbing some calm. And he's absorbing just kind of maybe a peaceful feeling from the beauty around him.
Yes.
This is a great life principle. I think similar to what you said, Liz, whatever we're doing in life, we need to sometimes step back and enjoy the beauty of life so we don't get overwhelmed by all of the tasks that we need to complete.
Right. So whether you're a cliff diver or not,
this
is something to just think about. Well, the view can't be absolutely breathtaking. Okay, we're on line 9 here, and he has propelled himself from... Well, we see here a list 4 different kinds of places. What are they?
Yeah, wow. The site of a volcano. Mm-hmm. When I read this, I was curious. Did he go into the volcano or like the other way? I mean, what's going on here?
Is fascinating, isn't
it? Yeah, that would be quite interesting. And then the rim of a canyon.
Wow.
And also the top of a medieval fortress, and a fortress meaning a large, strong building or even a group of buildings. And I find that one strange and very interesting that he would jump from the top of that.
Into water, of course.
Yes, of course.
Anywhere where there's water, I'm sure he's like, oh, I can do this.
Right. And then there's a fourth kind of place, the opera house.
Yeah.
From the rooftop, that is.
I wonder if he was singing when he jumped.
Maybe that would have helped him, Brandon. That would help me if I was jumping off.
So we can see that these are 4 different kinds of places, and obviously he's done more than just these kinds of places. But that goes to show that the view, the kinds of places, the sceneries, they've all been rather fascinating, I think, or pretty. Mm-hmm. And yet... not too breathtaking, though, we see in the next paragraph. Why is that?
Well, I like this, the use of the word breathtaking. We see it twice here, and actually it means something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when we use the word breathtaking, we're talking about scenery, something that just really you think is so beautiful, it almost takes your breath away. You forget to breathe, right?
Right.
But here, now the second time we see it, not too breathtaking, that means... literally, like you don't want to stop breathing.
Mm-hmm.
He can't stop breathing. He needs to breathe. We breathe to live, to operate. And so he needs that to think consciously and to be intentional about what he's going to do.
Right. We go on to see that he must not let his mind race into panic mode. What's panic mode?
Panic mode is when you're kind of going crazy inside.
You get too nervous. Allow your feelings of nervousness to get the better of you, to control you.
Yeah. And this could be anything. I mean, you don't have to go cliff diving to experience being in panic mode. I mean, many people, if they're preparing for a speech, you know, they could be really well prepared, but then on the day of the speech, they go into panic mode, and maybe they forget a lot of their lines, you know?
Right.
That's what happens when you're in panic mode.
Or something as simple as you think you left your cell phone somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's enough to make people panic stricken.
That's right, and you basically just lose focus, which in this case, you can't afford to do that.
Oh, that would be terrible. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so why is that? Because he's standing on this 89-foot-high platform, controlling his heartbeat and visualizing the perfect dive. So that's what's going on with Stephen LeBoux as he's about to jump. Okay, so he has to do some preparation before he does his fancy jump.
Mm-hmm.
He does take the time to absorb the beauty of the scenery, but he has a lot to think about. And controlling your heartbeat, and that's something that a lot of athletes need to do, too.
Yeah, I would not be able to control my heartbeat if I'm standing up there 90 feet about to jump into water, even without somersaults and flips. But he has to visualize here, and that basically means he's imagining, maybe he's going through all the motions that he has to do in his head before he jumps.
Mm-hmm. Right. And actually, this is something for a lot of people, not just for cliff divers, before they are about to do something huge, something big, like whether it's giving a speech, doing a presentation, or some kind of a performance, visualizing. That means to imagine yourself. Can you see yourself doing that very thing you hope to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can see yourself, and a lot of experts in the industry would say that, yes, it's a really good way to prepare yourself. Because if you can see yourself, you're actually well on your way towards success. But if you're so nervous and you think, I'm going to fail, then you're actually setting yourself up for failure.
Right. So, it is important to visualize what you're about to do.
Good point. And I think what's interesting is it says the perfect dive. So not only do you have to jump off this really high spot,
right. You
need to be really good. Your dive needs to be perfect. And I think that just adds so much more to what's going on here.
Right. There's just so much to think about. Well, let's find out a little bit more about Stephen LeBoux and his signature dive. Please follow along.
Signature dive. He trains at the International Swimming Hall of Fame pool in Florida. LeBoux has a showcase dive, which he calls the Quint Half. 5 somersaults with a half twist in the pike position. It's a dive that had injured a couple people, and no one had done it in pike, said LeBoux, who is 5'4". But I'm one of the shorter divers on the circuit, so I have a smaller spin radius. It took me a while to master it, but now it's my trademark. Cliff divers, also known as high divers, dive from a height of 89 feet, and the bone-jarring impact necessitates landing feet first. They are judged on form, difficulty, and entry. Compare that to Olympic-style diving, in which the highest dives are off the 33-foot tower, and divers can hit the water at a velocity as high as 35 miles per hour.
If you just tuned in, friends, you're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz, and I'm here in the studio with Gabe and Brandon. We're going over our sports article for the month. It's all about cliff diving, and we're actually focusing on a specific diver, Stephen LeBoux, and quite an incredible guy with quite an incredible jump. And we're going to find out a little bit more about what he does here. Now, we're on page 16. If you have your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine, we're now looking at Signature Dive. Well, we begin with he trains at the International Swimming Hall of Fame pool in Florida. Nice place.
Yeah, must be. I've never been there, but it's Hall of Fame pool, man.
Right.
That's
well,
a place to swim.
We've seen that phrase a lot. You think of maybe a football Hall of Fame or something. And of course, that's a building where you can actually go and see people who have been inducted to the Hall of Fame. In this case, it would be really good swimmers and famous swimmers that you would see there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And to be training there, I would imagine this is no ordinary swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a showcase dive. What's a okay, first of all, showcase.
Yeah, showcase. Actually, it's kind of a synonym with the word signature here. We see
okay.
Signature dive, showcase dive. This is a dive that sets him apart. Your showcase is basically it's a situation of an event or something that makes it possible for your best features to be seen, for the best features of something to be seen. And I think of maybe an art gallery where someone is showcasing their best artwork.
Mm. And it makes you famous or you're known mm-hmm. for it because people will think of you as like, oh, the one who is very good at blah, blah, blah. And whatever that blah, blah, blah might be would be your signature, your showcase.
Yeah, something
trait.
Like Michael Jackson, right? His signature dance was the moonwalk.
Correct.
Mm. Among others. Yeah, he had some really good dances. But
right. So the famous move of his. Mm-hmm. And in this case, this dive has a special name. What is it?
Yeah, he calls it the quint half. Quint meaning, or short for quintuplet, which mm-hmm. Is five of the same kind. So he does five of these somersaults. And actually, Liz, he was the first to do this, the first cliff diver to do this.
Wow. Just to do one somersault is already amazing.
Yeah.
You can do five. Mm. And then we have a half, too. Don't forget the half.
Yeah.
Quint half. Okay, and this half would be the half twist, all in what position?
Pike
position. The pike position. You see a photo of Stephen LeBoux there on the top of page 16, and you see him there in the pike position.
Okay, so yeah. Imagine standing nice and tall, feet together, okay, and then you reach down, try to touch your toes.
Mm.
Okay,
and that's painful.
Right, and the thing is you're trying to hug your leg, so to speak.
Mm.
And so you're folding your body completely over and then hold that position and imagine you're spinning through the air in that position.
Yeah. So. Some humans do this, Liz. Some humans do this.
Some humans are actually capable of doing this, while some of us can't even touch our toes.
Yeah, that's me. That's right.
Okay. Well, it's a dive that had injured a couple of people. As we said, it's not easy to even touch your toes and then to be doing this kind of a dive.
Mm-hmm.
People have gotten hurt.
Yeah, that would injure me even if I just did it on the ground.
And no one had done it in pike.
Yeah.
So trying to flip five times through the air plus the half twist is very hard enough. And then to keep mm-hmm. it in the pike position, whoa. But there's a reason why he's able to do it. Why is that?
Well, he says here, I'm one of the shorter divers on the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has a smaller spin radius. And so on the circuit, meaning they're doing a series of these events.
So that group of guys.
Yes, that's right.
So a group of guys officially, okay, they're known to be all competing. So it's the circuit. And they happen to know that Stephen LeBoux is short.
Mm-hmm.
And he is 5'4", and that would be 163 centimeters, actually less, but close.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but that's actually the reason why he's successful, because he has a smaller spin radius. In other words, if you're really tall, then there's just a whole lot more body to deal
yeah,
with
right.
spinning through the air. But because he's shorter, less to deal with, and
yeah.
so he can fly through. But was it easy for him to master?
Well, it took him a while to master it, but now it's his trademark. Oh, so there's three words that are kind of synonyms here. Trademark, showcase, and signature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it took him a while, but he's gotten so good at it that that's what he's famous for now, the
right.
quint half.
Mm-hmm. Try that, Brandon.
Yeah, maybe sometime later after I practice for about 20 years.
Yeah.
All right, moving along. We have one more paragraph. Moving on to page 17 at the top. Cliff divers, also known as what?
High divers.
Okay, they dive from a height of 89 feet, and the bone-jarring impact necessitates landing feet first. So bone jarring would mean?
Well, it describes something that violently shakes someone. And so while if something is bone jarring, you think of your whole body is just violently shaking. And you can think of that as a diver going from 89 feet, that would be bone jarring. And they use the word impact here because you have that impact with the water.
Right. You hit the water and you're going to feel it in a very uncomfortable way.
Mm-hmm.
And to protect yourself, that's why it's necessary, or it necessitates landing feet first.
Yeah, which is interesting because when I think of the word diving, naturally I think of going in head first. You have your hands over your head. But then here we see that it necessitates. That means it makes it necessary for him to land feet first.
For safety.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't want to go in head first. I mean, you could try, but it's really scary.
Dangerous, probably.
Extremely. And cliff divers or high divers, when they compete, there are three things that the judges are looking for. What three are they?
They are judged on form, difficulty, and entry. And so, of course, it needs to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And how difficult is your dive? For example, Stephen LeBoux's dive is very difficult because he has those five somersaults in his dive. And then how do you enter the dive? Or maybe, I guess that's how do you enter the water.
Right.
Yeah. I imagine that they're judging kind of based on how smooth the water is after you enter, like how many ripples you create.
Right, you don't want a huge splash.
Yeah,
this is not the cannonball.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no, that's a lot of fun.
No, in this case, they want to see you like go into the water, you know, so smooth that you hardly create a splash.
Mm. Yeah. It's like, wait, did something happen just now?
Yeah, exactly. Now, compare that to Olympic-style diving. Okay, now what is Olympic-style diving like, according to the article?
Well, the highest dives are off 33-foot tower, so it's not as high as cliff diving.
89.
Exactly. Divers can hit the water at a velocity of 35 miles per hour as opposed to the 60-mile-per-hour impact in cliff diving.
Okay, and the velocity?
Just referring to speed.
Okay, so compared to Olympic-style diving, which a lot of people do enjoy watching too, and it's also, we're not trying to belittle the sport either.
No.
We're just trying to show the difference.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so one is at 33 feet high, going at 35 miles per hour, versus 89 feet high, going at 60 miles per hour. Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we still have a lot to cover, so much more to learn about cliff diving and Stephen LeBoux. So we do hope, friends, that you'll join us again tomorrow for more of our sports article for this month. But until then, this is Liz,
Gabe,
and Brandon
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.